signing on to the promise of new jobs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. President Obama this afternoon will sign a much-anticipated small business tax incentive bill designed to create new jobs. The bill includes $12 billion in tax cuts for small business and a new $30 billion lending fund to give banks more incentives to lend to smaller companies. Marketplace's John Dimsdale joins us from Washington. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob.
How does this new fund work?
Well, the Treasury Department will be able to offer smaller banks very cheap loans if the banks show that they're lending it to small businesses. The more a bank lends to small borrowers in the community, the cheaper the money is to them.
And how effective do they hope that will be?
Well, that's the big question. The Democrats say that there will be lots of new investments in small businesses, creating as many as 500,000 jobs. But not everybody agrees with that. Many small business owners say their problem isn't that they can't get a loan. It's that they don't have enough customers, and they have no plans to borrow any money until they have more business.
Anything else in this bill that's going to help out here?
Well, owners of small businesses will be able to depreciate their investments in equipment more quickly. They can deduct more of their health insurance costs, and they're excluded from capital gains when they sell certain stock.
Now, individual workers, will they see any benefits?
Well, if you're a small business employee with a company 401k retirement plan, there are some added incentives to convert your plan from a regular account where you pay taxes in retirement to a Roth account where you pay the taxes up front, but all of your withdrawals are tax-free later on.
Marketplace's John Dimsdale, thanks.
Thanks, Bob.
Let's do the numbers. Stocks climbed around 1% today across much of Asia. Stocks in Frankfurt and Paris are up around 0.25% at this hour. London's FTSE up a small fraction. The Dow returns from the weekend at 10,860. Consumer goods giant Unilever says it's buying U.S. hair care company Alberto Culver, the price $3.7 billion. Months ago, British oil company BP promised $500 million for scientists to study the oil spill's impact. No strings attached. Now there are some. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
A panel of national scientists was supposed to dole out BP's money. Now, Gulf state governors will have a big hand in that, and local labs will get priority. Some national labs say that means BP won't be funding the best science. It'll be helping Gulf politicians take care of their own.
My response would be that their own are competent and ready to do this job.
George Crozier runs the Dauphin Island Sea Lab in Alabama. He says bigger labs would normally get most of the money, and that's not fair.
I'm sorry. Helping the region looks like a reasonably good objective to me.
In the wake of the spill, federal agencies are likely to fund more national research, so says Scott Pega at Alaska's Oil Spill Recovery Institute. And he says scientists shouldn't be surprised BP is appeasing locals.
You're not going to necessarily get the best science, but you may get the most appropriate science.
By that, he means BP's acting on a moral obligation. It wants to fund local labs that can best study the ecosystems that the spill hurt the most. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace. Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. By the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM. And by Ally Bank, committed to customer service. At allybank.com, visitors can chat online with a customer care associate 24/7.
A number of incumbent office holders are getting set to finish their terms come January. One of those coming to terms with his future is California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. His recent appearance in the movie The Expendables has many wondering, is Arnold returning to Hollywood? April Dembosky reports.
Last time we saw the Governator starring in a major motion picture was in Terminator 3.
I'll drive.
Arnold Schwarzenegger made $30 million for that movie, but that was back in 2003. And now he's 63. It's not an age that would typically have Hollywood directors rushing to cast him behind a machine gun. But producer Stephanie Austin can imagine a different cinematic future for Schwarzenegger.
He's reinvented himself time after time after time.
Austin worked with Schwarzenegger on Terminator 2 and True Lies. After his suit and cigar cameo in The Expendables, she can see him playing more polished characters, like a suave veteran spy.
As the baby boomer audience ages, maybe there's more receptivity.
But 7 years after trading Tinseltown for policymaking, Schwarzenegger may not want to return to the silver screen.
He doesn't need Hollywood anymore.
Steve Ross is a history professor at the University of Southern California. He's writing a book called Hollywood Left and Right, How Movie Stars Shaped American Politics. Schwarzenegger wasn't born in the U.S., so he can't follow in Ronald Reagan's footsteps and run for president. Ross sees him fast-forwarding to the role of a former president.
A Bill Clinton, a George H.W. Bush, maybe even a Jimmy Carter, that is a world ambassador. He'll pick a certain set of issues that he will be passionate about, and he will represent those issues.
The Special Olympics, the environment, whatever the issue, the role of elder statesman may appeal to Schwarzenegger. It seems he's always had a desire for greatness. In the 1977 documentary Pumping Iron, he talked about the drive behind his 6 victories in the Mr. Olympia bodybuilding contest.
I was just always impressed by people who could be remembered for hundreds of years, or, you know, even like Jesus, you know, being for thousands of years remembered, you know.
I'm April Demboski for Marketplace.
Finally this morning, airlines are raking in record revenue from all those add-on charges. Can you guess how much they collected in baggage fees in the most recent 12-month tally? More than $3 billion. Little wonder, then, they're fighting to hang on to that money stream, whether they misplace your bag or not. The Transportation Department is working on a new rule to mandate a refund of the fee in the event your bags are lost or delayed. But the Air Transport Association, which represents most of the big airlines, is objecting. For one thing, the ATA says, defining what's a timely delivery for bags is a subjective question. Obviously, they haven't encountered me without a pair of fresh socks, and believe me, that's totally objective reporting. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.